So these two words, humanness and third reality, we will see what that is. Humanness. So those words were flying around this last couple of days. So I'll try to point to that somehow. Let's see if we manage. Huh? Third reality? Third? It's just like something. Yeah. This was around, so I just say. So I remember as a child, once a year we were, the whole family, going to this village from my grandfather. And this is a village in the middle of nowhere, kind of one of the most poor areas of Spain. And you can feel the earth very, very dry, and you can feel the hardness of the place in the people. No? How, like, you see the land and you wonder how could possibly, like, anything come out of that. No? Once a year to visit all our ancestors. And of course, half of the village was my own family, like somehow. So that was fun to see everyone had my name. No? Of course, as an adult, you see, I had their name, but as a child, everyone had my name. No? So, like this. And on this village, there is a chapel and a little mountain near the village where this Madonna, this image of Madonna, was there. And that is the protector of the village. And one thing that will always stay in my heart is this, like twice a year, the whole village will gather in the evening, everyone, and light up candles and walk up the mountain, no? And this little path going like this. So it was super beautiful, like if you were in the end, like seeing the whole like snake of light going up the mountain to the Madonna. And everyone was singing shameless, like was really like singing like so much from the heart and with so much passion and so much devotion that was like, even as a child, was embarrassing. it was like all my family, like, okay. Like, especially my grandfather. Like, you want to like walk a few steps. Yeah. But the heart of that, no? The whole village lighting the candles and first starting in silence and then starting this amazing Ave Maria, just like singing like glory to the goddess, you know, like uphill, like as it was getting darker, just like just coming up and up, and you saw you could see tears in many people, you know, and you could see just like people were completely transformed. Was no space for joking around. Was not like just a kind of get together and have fun party, you know. Was a really like we do this in honor to that which keeps us alive, you know. We do this to that energy that pulls us out of suffering. And you could really feel it. I had been there a few more times afterwards, and the tradition is kept, but the heart diminished a little bit. People don't sing as heartily as before. And it is a bit different. And I really wonder what would happen kind of in the world when we lose this connection, you know, this collective and individual connection to something else. Like, the young people in the village are, of course, tuned into, you know, what you're supposed to be tuned into these days. And only some of them keep, kind of, felt that maybe as a child, and are able to kind of stand up for that, or kind of act beyond their kind of being ashamed of and really like listen to that which had been kind of there forever and honor that, you know. Some, if they had felt that and if they had been fed by that, they keep on doing, even if some drop it for a while, but then they come back to it. But if they don't feel it, then they lose track of it, you know. And then I wonder, you know, I cannot imagine a life without that, and much less a life in that village where all there is kind of desert. I mean, it's just it's just rocks and trees trying to grow up, you know. So it doesn't seem possible to live without that. And we can say that kind of in a fancy way, like we can connect with that because we want to gain something, no? Like many people only pray when they want to get new shoes, no? Or new something, no? Or whatever exam to pass, no? Then it comes to your mind to pray, no? When you have to pass this yucky exam, then it comes to the mind the possibility of praying in case God does more than you, you know? Not as something fancy, but as something like kind of intrinsic. This word exists, intrinsic to human beings, like to open eyes to something else. And again, not because we want to gain something out of that, but because this is what to be human means, you know, like this is like it is inbuilt in this humanness to open eyes to something else. And it feels like different traditions speak about that, of course, differently. We have a lot here, like in India, the figure of the guru, and deeply understanding of that would be like this bridge energy or this linking energy between this human and divine, and how no matter what we do, even if we do everything which is in our hands like perfectly, there is a moment in which only this third item can do it, you know, like there is something which is not me, is not God, you know, that can make this link, no? We can call this like kind of oil comes in, no? To make everything move. And how to live our life and especially our journey and our meditations, no? Like fully engaged and fully open to this bridge, like to this connecting, linking energy, which will not come from our doing or even our wanting, you know. It's not like we close the eyes and I want, like the kids do. Just start crying, I want this piece of chocolate, you know, till the mother is just like so fed up about this, that just gives the piece of chocolate. It doesn't work like this, you know, but really like allowing the space for that, which doesn't mean to step out or kind of erase yourself. Like, it means like bringing your heart in and all like that you have, like to create that space so that something else is invited to this garden. I like a lot this, like, what they call the silence of the Buddha, which, like, again, like, that would be, like, in Buddhism, of course. Seems that this, like, that also is that pointing to this vehicle or linking energy. In a way that is mainly like true silence, like true not saying if God exists or doesn't exist, or if you have some help around or you don't have help around. Like, there is this friend who brought this, like, this very big book, only called this, like, Silence of Buddha, and just pointing to that silence, just being kind of fruit of the reality of that moment in which Buddha lived in his body, and also as a teaching, no? So it seems like every time Buddha was asked about whether God exists or not, he just kept silence, no? And of course, many, many Buddhists now say that Buddhism, like, is without God, no? But it seems that is, like, what Buddha said was nothing about that. And it feels like that this saying nothing about that, again, like, it has inbuilt this possibility, you know? It was just like this in that time, because God was so much into these ideas, everyone know what God is, then his teaching needed to change into, like, don't count on that, don't count on what you know about God. So that there is enough space to experience that without the ideas. So I find it, like, very clever from Buddha's side to find his way out by not saying, by just keeping silent about that. So now whoever wants is very free to say in Buddhism there is no God, and whoever wants is very free to say in Buddhism there is God. And hopefully, like, none of that, those two are true, but people can be pointed to the experience of it, you know, the experience of that pulling or uplifting energy, you know, which is, like, kind of what I think Buddha was pointing out, no? Like, just, like, feel it and you will be, like, pulled and uplifted, you know? And then don't try to put a name on it, otherwise you will narrow it, no?
thing that we won't put a name on is ridiculous.
Is what?
The thing that we're not naming. Is that the bridge, like the groovy, or the silence isn't so spiritual. The third bit for us.
Yeah, is this energy, like the silence is just like, do not put a name on whether this energy is there or not. So, yeah. Like this openness, because if we put an image, then it's like kind of my image or collective kind of image. So one thing is the Madonna on top of the mountain on the village. But, you know, if you go on holiday in Spain and you pass by this Madonna, you will probably not feel anything, you know. And yet, everyone in that village, for them, like, that is like the most valuable thing, you know. So, pointing to the experience of this energy who has the power to take out of suffering, you know, when you sing with so much heart and with tears, is because, like, there is this experience that up to here you reach, beyond here you just cannot go. Like, you have no the appropriate kind of tools to go. Like, something else needs to take on. And I'm pointing that is the Madonna, that specific Madonna in that specific village. In Hindu tradition, many times that is represented by the Guru, you know, which is like that, which, you know, takes your hand and takes you kind of out of this suffering, like, somehow, no? And in the Buddhism, like this other example, in which, like, Buddha didn't want to speak about that, but by not speaking about that, was pointing to that, you know? Because, of course, speaking about that is dangerous. Because if you then, like, close your eyes and start kind of just waiting for this, probably will not come, no? So, sometimes it's better not to speak about that, and then just be surprised when it comes. But I also feel somewhere that if I don't speak about that, I would be cheating, no? So, sometimes I have to give permission to myself to speak about that. But yeah, it's good if there are questions.
Can you connect to that bridge or to that, like, bridge that uplifts you? To that feeling when everybody is singing next to the Madonna, when there is no collective. I mean, what happens to the person in the village today, where the collective is so much weaker and the Madonna is still there and the path is still there and the will is still that, the thing that makes him human is still there, that potential, that aspiration, but the collective power is not there, which has a lot of, it's like a vehicle, you know?
Mm.
So is there like a what happens when there is no guru?
Yeah. Life is less sweet. But also possible. Yeah, it feels like, to me, like it feels this transition that many cultures are in, and we're like from collective into individual, and I think like to the point of feeling so sick to be so individual that something needs to come out of there, like when there is nothing for long enough, then you start wondering, no? And maybe it doesn't happen in one kind of lifetime, but eventually, like as collective and then individual, also as individual kind of finds a way, you know? And to me, like even though it feels like tragic to lose this collective way of looking to the mystery, in a way, it also feels like somewhere like necessary to go into this dryness of individuality, to like to experience that juiciness also like kind of individually, you know? Because if that is experienced again, that it could raise up again, you know, much more strong. Because before was also like a lot mixed in with the belief system, no? And now it feels to me that this dryness of individuality, hopefully it like erases a little bit this belief system into more experiential system. That's what I feel, but of course I could be wrong. But that's what I feel / hope, you know, that is happening. And, you know, I see this happening, but the force of individuality now is still very, very strong. Like, it seems like the only voice around, but it's not, you know. It seems, but it's not. So, of course, in my tiny little country, within this other country that I was mentioning before, there is also, I think, the most kind of loved Madonna, which kind of physically lives in the middle of the country, like in this very beautiful rocky mountain. And it's this black Madonna called Montserrat. And it is also very powerful to go there. And now you see like many, many people from many, many countries, like not only like Catalan people, but many, many people. And everyone queuing there to go up little steps and kiss the Madonna, no? You're supposed to pass by and kiss her, you know? And it is, I find it really beautiful that still today, I mean, with all this freaking out about diseases and stuff, like thousands of people, like every day, I mean, it's just freaky, no? Pass by and just kiss that in the same place. I mean, it's just like, only some American like freaks out and takes like the disinfectant. But all the rest just kiss. It's just like so beautiful. And I love to do that. And also go behind, if you ever go there, you just like don't follow everyone, as always. And then there is little path, you can sit in little room behind her. And it's one of the most like powerful places to be, like sitting. So this Madonna is there, black, and is sitting there, and she has this ball of the world in her hands, and then she has the baby, like Jesus, in her hands, like all looking to the front, and Jesus has the world in the hand. Am I right? Okay. I always thought Madonna had the world and Jesus, but I think she has Jesus and Jesus has the world. And it's just so beautiful, this sense of like there she is with, we can say, like her own fruit or the best of her, which is this boy, and that boy that at the same time we can say has nothing to do with her, no? And it is there, kind of really like given and for the world, you know. And of course we could get very technical into theology, but we don't need to do so. And but just this representation of the best of oneself, which is not made by her, you know, like if we can imagine like our best qualities without any sense of us having made those best qualities, you know, without any sense of us earning those qualities, but those qualities like to be offered to the world, you know, whatever that means. And it is very interesting to me that many times like people who are very much like messed up, how you say, like not in good shape. like some of those people messed up, like come to speak, and one of the things that comes is like I want to help. No? I want to find something to help others. No? And of course, like me listening and thinking, okay, like thinking, obviously, you should do something about yourself before thinking of helping others. No? That seems like what needs to happen, no? Like in practical terms. But somewhere also understanding that again, like it is so intrinsic in human being to be for something. Feel the meaning of our life. So many times this being messed up, it feels as if like there is something like how to say, wait. Something about honesty, like there is some honesty, and that honesty like paralyzing someone. Like if you really listen to this need of being worth, of being meaningful to others, then like it is very, very hard to live in this world, you know, and just be individual and do your own business, no? So even though it seems like really far, like when someone is really messed up, it seems very, very far, like to go into helping others, it seems to me that really like it all goes together, you know, like if we can find meaning in our life, like this messed up situation would change, you know. But again, not because some fancy idea about doing good, you know, but because there is enough sensitivity within that makes you wonder, and this sensitivity allows you wonder what life is for, you know? And because you dare to wonder about that, then you are a mess, no? you dare to wonder about that, then nothing of what world is proposing seems to make sense, no? Then of course, like, you are a mess because you don't know which road to take, no? But I kind of feel like this is a very kind of blessed kind of mess, because it really means that there is enough sensitivity to wonder about life and to allow yourself not to make as if you are not a mess. Or like it means that you didn't go down to choose that which, you know, your neighbor told you to choose to have a good life, you know. And I see this in this Madonna, no? Like the best of herself for the world, you know. And we say many times here, no? We say many times, rest, deeply rest, no? And I always feel like, yeah, it is true, like deeply rest, please. But somehow to know that it is actually not possible to deeply rest till you find some kind of sense of whisper, sense of that makes sense, you know? And it is not like that we have to become minister or anything fancy, you know, but kind of same way that kind of flower is flower, like that a flower like can fully be a flower. So in the same way, like as human, somehow we need to feel that we are allowed to be fully human, you know. And that we need to discover, like not because today I feel like, but because somehow there is something beyond us, behind us, wherever, that wants this, no? Like, I don't remember having kind of ask to have this body, no? Probably I did, but I don't remember. So there is something that wants this happening, and that needs to be fulfilled, you know. So it is like somehow as simple as it is for the flower to be a flower, as for human to have the space and the rights to be human, you know? Which to me like means to have the eyes to look up the mystery. Like that is what human means. And to live like beyond this survival instinct and not of patterns. Good.
On the last retreat, we talked a lot about waiting.
About?
About waiting.
Waiting, yeah.
Waiting and then falling, or falling in and out. And now it sounds like we're talking about that, like having a guru or having a Madonna or... Buddhism, either having a god or not. And you said that we can get so far, but we need the other thing to make the bridge. I'm finding that seems like a contradiction. One seems like a waiting, and the other seems like you need a conduit.
Yeah. But you are waiting for this, you know, for the internet connection. Like you, what you fall into is like what you, like you do everything you do, and then you fall into this like waiting space where there is nothing else to do. Like there is no effort that could make any difference. So there is waiting. We can say waiting, no? There is no time, but you, like we can say waiting, just to understand each other. But what you are waiting for is this, like guru's hand, like the bridge, this uplifting energy, or like all this that I'm talking about. Like this is the waiting, like you arrive this place, and then there you cannot move further. There you are taken somewhere or dropped somewhere, you know. But is this energy who takes you, like pulls or uplifts, like whatever. But that is what you wait for, so. Without time, you know, if you can see waiting without time.
That is my confusion.
Yeah.
Because in Hinduism they call it a guru.
Yeah. Because we love all the names.
You know, all of those things.
Yeah. There is a psalm that says, "You, which name could I give to you, you that have all the names?" So, my favorite psalm.
So, are you saying that this uplifting energy is kind of unpredictable? So it's not like that you just let yourself, you just kind of let yourself fall and then something happens, but you need to do that and then sometimes something happens and sometimes not, so it depends on whether there is this uplifting energy or whatever.
Yeah, it doesn't seem to be much in our hands. in one way, but in another way, like, as we learn, like, as we, how to say, as we become sensitive enough to that energy, we can kind of, like, pretty much drive ourselves there, like we can say. But that is really only when like channels have been really open. But usually it's more like doing what is in, like this opening that you are saying, just like opening and like whatever, letting go, opening, making space, making yourself available. And then in that, then experiences, you are surprised by that energy. Sometimes it's not up to you. Yeah. But at the same time, as you experience more and more that energy, it's as if like you tune into that, you get to know a little bit more. So you are more like, you have more like, you know, like soft touch that you kind of more easily. You know, it's like when the road is open, it's easy to walk on the snow when there is somebody, like when you pass that same snow a few times, then it's easier to walk in that path, you know. But it is very, very subtle. So, yeah, very much like uncatchable. So in the beginning is really like surprising. Uh-huh. It feels also in this process like very, kind of important to, allow this sense of devotion, which is, like has a very juicy taste. And a sense of, you know, just the beauty of walking up the mountain together with candles, singing to God, you know, and letting that be what nourishes you, you know, because also one thing that happens is like sometimes in this, what you say, like waiting and falling, like because it comes like this, like suddenly or by surprise, like it's not in your hand when that happens, then it is also very, very normal that that happens. And then like we have like 1 minute of gratitude for that, and followed by 5 years of hating that, because that place where I felt in, I cannot go again. And that happens, no? Like, you see people like really only wanting to go back there, no? And of course, like, naturally, you want to go back there. You want to go to that place which, you know, it belongs to you, you know? Or you belong to that place, you know? That, of course, you want that, and it is natural to want that, you know? But it feels that to not be stuck the next 5 years hating that for not being able to reach that place, like a medicine for that is just really like tuning into the beauty of, you know, this walking up the mountains with candles singing, you know? Like the beauty of devotion in itself, you know, like the beauty of that, you know, just kind of being called in the middle of the night just to sit there with your little candle, you know? And just drinking that silence and that mystery, you know, even if the falling doesn't happen, you know. But it feels like in the journey, like to be in touch with this juiciness, it is also crucial, you know. Otherwise, like, probably we will give up, like, at some point. So if I would have like decent voice, I would sing the song of Montserrat, but since I don't, I just say something that may bring the feeling, which is like, you know, my grandfather, he was like falling sick. And then he was in this wheelchair, and we would say like, where do you want to go today? And he would say, to Montserrat. And okay, so we would take all these different vehicles to go to Montserrat. you know, and just go in, and he would just start crying. And after like 10 minutes, he would say, "We can go home now," and we would go home, taking again like 10 different vehicles to go home. So may we let this feeling of gratitude and this eyes that can be open for the mystery. Be there.